from her new Lady Luck album, Maria Taylor. Well, the Wedding Bell Blues are not being sung anymore in the state of Iowa. And at least among gay people, there's a major ruling last Friday, a unanimous ruling by the Iowa Supreme Court, saying that equal rights means that absolutely means that gay and lesbian men and women can marry. And joining us on the line, somebody who was toward the forefront of the gay rights movement in Iowa. In fact, was the first openly gay mayor of an Iowa town back in the early 90s. The town was Melbourne, Iowa. Joining us from Washington, D.C., Bill Cruz. Welcome to KVMR, Bill.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Good to be here.
Now, maybe you could just tell us what, in your eyes, in your mind, what this Friday ruling means for folks in Iowa.
Well, I think it not only for folks in Iowa but throughout the country, it means that thoughtful, decent people can rationalize that under civil and constitutional guarantees of equal protection, that marriage can't be held out from gay and lesbian couples. One of the key elements of this decision, and I might again emphasize that it was unanimous, was that the purpose of Iowa's marriage law is to provide an institutional basis for defining the fundamental relational rights and responsibilities of persons in committed relationships. So that's the purpose of marriage in Iowa, and the Supreme Court thoughtfully and thoroughly went through and decided that there's no difference between two men or two women in a committed relationship than a man and a woman. And so, therefore, the equal protection caused that law to fall.
And this is going to stand no matter what for a couple of years, correct?
Absolutely. The Supreme Court is final unconstitutional matters in Iowa, and that's one reason why the Polk County attorney who defended his county recorder in denying the licenses based on state law has not requested a rehearing. He stated it's not personal, and the Supreme Court decides the law in Iowa.
And I guess they could, theoretically, the legislature, though, could pass a constitutional amendment. But they would have to pass it twice, once each session or once each year, and then it would go to a vote of the people.
Right. It's similar to Massachusetts for your listeners that followed that process after their court decision, is that it has to pass two consecutive general assemblies or sessions of the legislature, and those are in two-year increments, basically every general election elects a general assembly, and they serve two sessions, one each year. And so they'd have to either pass it this general assembly, which is winding down its first session. Maybe it could take it up next year. But then it would have another election, and then the next general assembly would come in. And so and if they passed it there a second time, then it would go to the voters no earlier than November of 2012, and as we saw in Massachusetts, people realized the sky doesn't fall, and Massachusetts never got it to a vote. And right now, the courageous Democratic leadership of the Iowa legislature is hailing this as a victory, not as something that needs to be overturned.
And, of course, out here in California, all it took was a majority vote in the fall election to overturn the Supreme Court ruling from last May, I believe it was. And, of course, we're waiting to hear how the Supreme Court is going to respond to that and what the status is of marriages that were conducted, or ceremonies that were conducted during the time that the ruling was in effect until it was theoretically overturned. And was it overturned? I guess we're waiting for all of that. Of course, this is in a state where it takes a majority vote to amend the Constitution and change people's rights, and a two-thirds vote if you want to pass a budget.
Well, it does seem a little backwards, and I've personally never been supportive of referendums just because of the potential for demagoguery and for minorities to have their rights taken away. My partner of 30 years and I were able to take advantage of that window last September and got married at San Francisco City Hall in a very moving ceremony to put some rights behind our 30-year commitment, and they'll have to pry that marriage license out of my cold, dead hands.
And well, it's sort of ironic that California then overturns the law, and then your home state of Iowa says that it's fine.
Well, you know, Iowa has a history of being out front in recognizing equal protection and protecting rights of minorities. The very first Iowa Supreme Court case was a case dealing with slavery and a runaway slave that was caught in Iowa and whether or not he could be forced to go back to his owner in Missouri. And the Iowa Supreme Court said, hey, we don't have slavery in Iowa. That guy's not a slave. He doesn't have to go back. So, it's really gratifying to have Iowa do that. A couple years ago, they added sexual orientation and gender identity to the civil rights statutes in Iowa. And I think that, Iowa people are basically good-hearted, well-thought and decent people. And, when they, are able to kind of get away from the vitriol of the fundamentalists, they'll treat everyone the way they should be treated.
And going back about 15, 16 years ago was when you decided to come out and say that you were gay, and that and at that time you were the mayor again of a small town called Melbourne, Iowa, and before that you had been I believe an aide to the Republican governor of Iowa. So what, going back to when you made that decision, what were the times like and what was that like for you?
Well, again, as you mentioned, it was 16 years ago that we came out publicly. I wrote an op-ed piece that the Des Moines Register, the statewide newspaper, published on the day of the big march for LGBT equality in Washington, D.C. on why we were marching. So it was basically a publicly coming out. Steve and I had been together, and we actually only lived in Melbourne because I, as you mentioned, worked in state government in Des Moines, and he worked in a town 50 miles away. Melbourne was the only town. We moved there in 1984. 4 months later, they appoint me mayor. Oh, you're an attorney or work for the governor. Sounds like you'd make a good mayor. And but in 1992, we had some personal electoral disappointments based on the fact that it was certainly perceived that we were gay, as one of our neighbors relayed to the Washington Post after we did come out. That no, it wasn't a big surprise. They're not exactly brain dead. It also in 1992, voters defeated a constitutional amendment for equality on the basis of gender, simply adding and women to the Iowa Constitution. And it fell by a very slim margin after Pat Robertson and Phyllis Schlafly were all saying, well, you know, you adopt this amendment, all the women will become lesbians or witches. You know, not that there's anything wrong with that. But we came out publicly. We came home from the march. Our house had been vandalized to a certain extent, very minor repercussions, but it was really big news. And so we made a lot of lemonade in terms of being role models for committed same-sex couple, contributing to our community, working in a lot of different ways. And I think that that has really been the arc of history right now, as more and more people come out, more and more people know gay people, they realize that there's very little difference. And so the difference between now and 16 years ago is that you've had 16 years of older people dying off and 16 years of kids and young folks coming up realizing that there's no difference. And I think that that's the arc, and it will continue to move. Not that there won't be setbacks at time.
Well, Bill.
Oh, by the way,
go ahead.
I was going to say I was reelected 2 years later. And as I tell people, not because I was gay, but because I was a fairly good mayor.
And it had something to do with making sure the garbage got picked up, I think.
The garbage get picked up. We really increase the population. We increase the assessed value. We improve the water and sewer systems. Build a new library. Build a new fire station for a town that had no industry and was losing population. It had the highest percentage growth in the 2000 census of any city in the four county area.
And plus you had all those hundreds of thousands of dollars in special interest money from those, the special interest groups in, San Francisco and the East, huh?
Well, you know, I was able to save a little money when I, talked to the, postmaster, in town, about, scheduling some direct mail, because I did have an opponent, I should mention, that the first three times I ran, after being appointed to fill a vacancy, I didn't have an opponent, but I had an opponent. So I was going to do a little campaigning. I've done that in the past and have some experience. And so I was talking with her about scheduling a couple mailings, and she said, well, give me your voter list, and I'll cross off the people that have moved out of town. No use wasting postage on them. So it's in a small town, it's a lot different. 2 months before I was up for reelection, the city of Des Moines, the capital, had a real knockdown drag out battle that over a openly gay school board member that did lose his reelection based on a lot of outside and fundamentalist conservative religious agitation. In our town, it really was you know, much smaller scale, so that, you know, folks knew that I was a good mayor and knew that Steve and I, my partner, were good people and contributed to the community, and we were able to come out on top.
That was then, of course, and this is now. And again, just looking back at the event from last Friday, were you expecting this to happen?
Well, I certainly was following, and it. You know, you kind of wonder. I mean, I thought the district court judge's opinion was very well reasoned. It was, you know, very lengthy, and they talked about the factual things and really how there is no difference. You know, they raised the issue of raising children, and there was no evidence that that straights are better than gays. So I was optimistic. But to have it be unanimous, including two justices that were appointed by a former conservative Republican governor, including the one who actually wrote the opinion, to have it be unanimous is really wonderful, because it even in Massachusetts it was a split decision. In California it was a split decision, but when it came down to it, you know, rational, reasonable. Justices applying the law and applying the analysis and doing their job to protect minorities and uphold the Constitution, it was a great feeling to know that it was unanimous.
Well, Bill Cruz, we want to thank you for joining us here on KVMR this morning and talking about this big ruling in Iowa, the Supreme Court ruling last week, and doing a little reminiscing about your days as the first openly gay mayor in the state. I also want to wish you and Steve a very happy anniversary on September 15th.
All right. Thanks so much, Steve. Good to talk with you, and all the best to you and your listeners.
KVMR FM, Nevada City.
Is where I was born. spring, summer, and fall.